And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Visit DirecTV.com. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
Is this thing on? One, two, mic check, one, two. All
right. And then the communication, that's your glue.
Man, this is our city. This is our city, man. We did it, man. It's unbelievable.
I feel like Black Jesus.
We've seen the story before.
We've seen the story
Welcome
before.
To the Athletic NBA Show. Monday through on the Athletic Podcast Network.
Welcome to Part of... No, let me stop my Zach. Let me stop my Zach impersonation.
We need to keep that in.
I do have a take.
Here's what happens. Since it's Steph Curry, you have to be chasing him over the screen. So you're going over that guy that you're switching onto, which means when you switch onto him, you're on his back. And all of the Warriors screeners, whether it's Otto Porter or Andrew Wiggins or Jordan Poole, whoever, are really good at saying, okay, you switch, you're on my back. Boom, dip to the rim, backdoor cut. So you can't just say switch that.
Yeah, but welcome to Point of Contention. Five subjects, 5 minutes, 5 points of contention coming up on the show. It's the finals, folks. Plus, Quinn Snyder maybe trying to get out of there. And who should Kevin Durant be rooting for? Today, June 2nd, happy leave the office early day. You have my permission, no matter where you are, you get to leave your office early. Plus, it's NBA finals. You got to get out of there, get your setup. On this day in 2007, Cleveland Cavaliers punched a ticket to the first ever NBA finals for them with 98-82 victory in Game 6. Of the Eastern Conference Finals against the Detroit Pistons, a 22-year-old LeBron James led the way. He finished with 20 points, 14 rebounds, which was a game high, 8 assists, which was a game high, 2 steals, and 2 blocks. He played 44 minutes there.
I always told my team I'm going to try to do my best to try to bring it home. And man, if it weren't for these fans here, man, this is special. This is big. This is the biggest thing I've ever done.
There's your attention, LeBron James, for the playoffs in the NBA Finals, which you will be seeking on Twitter this entire time. Let's get to our contestants in this corner. Metal legend, the Kingpin from Beantown, who calls it like he sees it and often calls it before he sees it. And sometimes, just sometimes, sees it like he calls it. In his heyday, he liked a hot box because he always wanted all the smoke, and he is exactly who Omar from The Wire was talking about when he said, come at the king, you best not miss. He is the one and only Jay King. Jay, how long of a flight do you need to be on before you purchase $8 Wi-Fi?
It has to be across the world. $8 Wi-Fi, man. I just saved the company $8 last night. I don't think people understand. I was a hero. 6.5-hour flight from Boston to San Francisco. And I just had the free text message.
You actually hurt the company by doing this. You hurt the company.
Yeah.
Because you're worse. Worse because of it. You took a 6-hour flight with text messages and free movies. Like, that's not good for your sanity. Your articles off Game 1 might be trash because of it.
Mm-hmm.
I did pick Black Mass, which is, it's just not a great movie.
It's a bad movie. That's a
I don't know why. Like, I knew it was a bad movie,
just,
and
like,
I chose it anyway.
Missing Boston already?
But
why were you watching that?
You know how
that
sometimes when you're scrolling through movies and one calls to you, even though it's not like a great movie,
and you know it's bad, but somehow you still click it.
I got a whole podcast based off that. I've never picked Black Mass as that movie that called to me.
Zach, the best part was he was you tweeted in a group chat, and you're still doing it. He's like,
still,
I'm five hours in. I gotta finish.
He's on 5 hours. I'm pot committed right now. Just ridiculous. Just absolutely ridiculous.
What happened? I must have been doing 30 and 25. You know, locked me up for life or something.
Hey, why don't you do your fucking job instead of trying to jerk off on us and pathetic
quiet,
fucking stuff? Do
quiet,
your fucking
Tommy,
job,
Tommy.
And in this corner,
shout out to Marcus. He sent me $8 via Apple Pay.
That's for your next flight.
The Bay Area legend, the stitching to the glove, the parent to the J kid, puts the awe in Bishaw, writes the hook for Hook Mitchell, puts the ill in Lillard. It's the three-time author of Bay Area and NBA Basketball, the creator of the rap group A Scribe Called Quest. You can mark us down as all fans of the legend. It's the one and only Marcus Thompson. Marcus, how much would the Wi-Fi have to cost you before you didn't buy it on a cross-country flight?
It don't matter. I'm not paying. Like, it's all going on the same expense tab. Here's what I'll do on behalf of the company. When you book your flight, you can do all them little add-ons. I'll buy it there. That's when it's cheapest. But if I'm on a flight and it's $50, then, hey, this is the cost of doing business.
Look, I just went to San Francisco this past weekend for a little getaway before the NBA Finals. And on the way back, I was flying Alaska Airlines. And on the way back,
I bought the
one-way tickets each way, right? So, like, I didn't buy a round trip. I bought one way, and then, all right, I'll leave today. I bought a one-way back. And it says, hey, for, like, $160 extra, you can upgrade to first class. I'm like, I'm not going to do that. Then when I bought the ticket. I immediately check in because the flight's, like, 6 hours from when I bought it. And it's like, would you like to upgrade to first class for $20?
Yeah.
Of course I would. Absolutely. Yeah, like, it's such a racket.
No question.
Yeah.
Wow.
No
they
question.
They try to get you.
30 seconds earlier, it was $160 for first class.
Yeah.
It's only an hour flight. But
I do it all. I do it all the time. Hey, man, you get this exit seat for $18. Book it.
Oh, you have to. Get that exit row.
You don't have status to get free exit seats?
Yeah. But I'm saying if I'm on a different airline, if I got to take somewhere else, and I got to, I'm taking it. I will buy Wi-Fi on a 45-minute flight to L.A. Like, it's
absolutely. Absolutely. <It's booked. laughs> You have to. Yeah, you absolutely have to. Jade, start the clock. Take one. It's finals time. It's time to party up. Fellas, we're finally here. The 2022 NBA Finals start tonight as the Golden State Warriors host the Boston Celtics in what many believe will be a series to remember. What also many believe will determine the 2022 NBA champion. Steph, Clay, Dre, and company against Brad Stevens, young upstarts vis-a-vis Ime Udoka, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, and a lucky leprechaun, not Smart.
I want to go.
The Warriors are making their sixth finals appearance in the past eight seasons. The Boston Celtics, meanwhile, are here for the first time since 2010. Let us not waste any time here, guys. Let's get right to it. Predictions usually come last in a program of this nature. We want to keep you around. We want to tease you like, oh, Jay's going to make a pick. Marcus is going to make a pick. I'm going to make a pick. Fuck that. We're going to drop them right off the bat. Marcus, tell me who wins the 2022 NBA Finals and in how many games.
A Warriors in five.
Wow.
Or Celtics in six or Warriors in seven.
What?
Boom.
You just took three predictions.
Yeah, one of them going to be right.
What if they're not?
It doesn't matter anyway.
Which one do you most prediction. Believe in? Which yeah, one which do you one, most
I guess,
believe
yeah,
in?
Which, that's a great question. Which prediction do you believe in the most?
It's about 33% belief in each.
That's not helpful at all. Here's what I'll do.
I got so excited
when you came out of the gate with Warriors and five. I thought, holy shit,
here we go.
Jay's
got to
pick
on.
Celtics in here four. Here's our hook. Everyone's gonna be like, oh, I gotta listen to this clip. I gotta listen to this podcast. I can't believe it. the elitist snobbish Warriors media once again pumping up this team, and then you just threw out like nine other predictions there.
It's either Warriors in five or Celtics in six or Warriors in seven. Or if you want to be fair, Celtics in seven. Like, those are your options.
I don't want to be fair. I want a fucking prediction, Marcus.
I don't. Okay. I just gave you four. You should be happy. You should be overjoyed.
I provided you more than what you asked for.
Well, one prediction. Well, you know what? You don't get to dictate four. The terms of predictions here. Like, you don't get
I'm the host. Hey, I get to do whatever I want.
You wanted a prediction. I gave you four. Be thankful. That's a very first world problem. You only once in one. Like,
I live in the first world. Yeah. What kind of promise you want me to have?
I want you to appreciate when somebody gives you more than what you've even asked for.
I live in a world of excess already. I don't
this
need
is,
extra predictions. That's not the excess
all
I'm looking for.
All of a sudden you're efficient
exactly.
now.
Yeah.
All
Jay, of a sudden you're you efficient. Give me a prediction. Jay, you give me a prediction. Let's go to the kid, the god.
Celtics in six.
Celtics in six. How about that?
I think... So... Like, it's going to be a totally different challenge for the Celtics than the last two series. They were dealing with Giannis, who doesn't shoot. They were dealing with Jimmy Butler, who doesn't want to shoot. And now all of a sudden it's Steph and Klay and Jordan Poole and Andrew Wiggins even. Like, that's going to be a shock to the system. Like, that is just a totally different problem than they've seen in this playoff run. I could see the Celtics, especially if Robert Williams isn't right, like that would be a big deal in this series, because if he hobbles around like he did in Game 7, I don't think he can survive in this series with how gifted the Warriors are on the perimeter. So that could go wrong for the Celtics. The Warriors could just be better and more experienced, and they've been there before. Obviously, the Celtics haven't. And that's kind of
somehow the Celtics are winning there.
Well, somebody have a Celtics.
He's basically taking my prediction. He's doing the exact same thing. Celtics and six. He's like, Celtics and six, but let me tell you my Warriors and five. Celtics, right? And like, Celtics and six, but let me explain to you why it's Warriors and five. No, right?
Celtics.
Like, I just beat you to the punch.
Celtics are bigger. They're bigger. They don't have any defensive weak links. They don't have anybody to target. I think the Warriors do with Jordan Poole.
This is the worst fucking podcasting we've ever done.
I disagree. I gave a real prediction. You guys are giving me heat for no reason.
This is worse than you saying you could beat up Floyd Mayweather.
I still believe I could. I stood next to that little tiny man in an elevator.
It's not the problem that you believe you could, okay? It's that you would say it out loud so emphatically. That's the problem.
I stood next to him on an elevator. I had to look down 3 feet just to see the top of his head. I absolutely believe there's no chance that man could hurt me. He may beat me in like score-wise, but there's no chance he could hurt me.
He would give you one punch to the side and you'd be done.
Kidney shot. It's over.
Marcus, I don't even feel good about going back to you. Can you narrow down four of those predictions to two?
I'm even more convinced that I'm doing this the right way and living right. Like, Jay couldn't even, you know, like, it could go both ways, right? I gave you three. If you're going to make me pick one, if there's like a proverbial, I'm not using that metaphor, if I am being forced to give a prediction, then I'm going to exercise my freedom to say, screw you. You can't force me to do nothing. I'm a grown man. Like, I make the predictions I want to make and how I want to make them. You just got to live with it.
How about this? Celtics in five. I don't even know if I believe it, but someone needs to say something here. Celtics in five.
Would you feel better if I said Warriors in seven? Like, the safest?
I feel better if you answered the question the way it's supposed to be answered.
I gave you three answers.
No. Warriors in seven is cowardly. No, we're not doing Warriors in seven.
You're wearing an Allen Iverson. Jay, you're wearing an Allen Iverson gear right now. Allen Iverson would be ashamed of you for this gutless nonsense. That was a man who dared to be all the time.
Jay, you've got a jungle cat on your sweatshirt, and you're being a coward. Jungle cats are not cowards.
Celtics and six. That was no coward stuff. Celtics and six.
You don't think a puma is a jungle cat?
No, I meant like the puma logo, which is like
a
very commercialized version of Black Panther.
It's gotta be black. All right, take two.
It's a white Panther on his.
Oh, that's racist. The dynasty versus the debutante. Take two. Lord knows there are numerous storylines flowing from the 2022 NBA Finals. So much riding on another title run for the Warriors. Steph Curry, Draymond Green, Klay Thompson, Steve Kerr, even Andre Iguodala. Meanwhile, history is not necessarily on the side of the Celtics. Simply put, a lack of experience. Pundits, analysts, experts, lend me your ears. Oh, no. And us will try to provide the proverbial keys to victory. Jade, play the tape.
Influence is what creates cultures. Influence does. And cultures are really important in winning.
The elevation of Andrew Wiggins during these playoffs from a defensive standpoint, particularly the job that he did against Luka Doncic.
No, hold on. Can I just interrupt real quick? Just so we're clear, Luka shot 51% against Andrew Wiggins when he was the primary defender. All right, keep going.
I'm fully aware of that. I'm glad you tried to interrupt to make your point.
In my life, the people that have had influence over me have not been the richest, often haven't been the smartest. Maybe it's values. Ask yourself, who's had influence over you?
So for me, Skip, and the defense in which they can play, they can switch 1 through 5. I like Jason Tatum. I like the matchup in which they present the Golden State Warriors. Yeah, I understand the Warriors at home and the Celtics hadn't been very good. You're going to probably need to take care of home court.
Say switch that. You've got to switch it. You've got to somehow try to stay in front of them, but you know you're not going to really be able to do that. So the next layer of defense has to be ready for the backdoor cut. And then the layer behind that has to be ready for that layer to help on the backdoor cut. And it's just this chain reaction that happens in two seconds.
One thing I wanted to get into with the finals, though, is these are two teams that they get stupid with the turnovers. Like, just dumb with the turnovers. You know what I mean? I can't believe a team as good as Boston played so dumb down the stretch. Like, literally gave Miami had a chance to win that series.
Here we are getting close.
I'm about to deconstruct what the scout said and what the coach said anonymously to The Athletic. But two of the three insiders.
Right.
Go Boston, Boston.
Right. Yeah.
It's time to make a prediction. Andrew Wiggins needs to have a good finals. If the Warriors are going to win this, Wiggins is going to go off. If Wiggins doesn't go off, it's going to be a rough NBA finals for this Warriors team. I'm going to bet against Wiggins, though, really showing up every night to get it done.
Go ahead, Rosé.
Rosé all day.
No, I'm sorry. Let me tell you the beautiful thing about being a professional. This is my 20th consecutive year covering the NBA Finals on television. I can't even see y'all. Hannah, I didn't know if you were talking to Amari or if you were talking to me. So I'm sorry, Steph. Please continue.
All right, no. Okay, Jalen, let me ask you a question. Jalen Rose or Rosé, as we've come to learn.
Fellas, let's drill down and try to get into the mindsets of each coaching staff. Jay, let's start with you. How do you think the Celtics will approach the Warriors in Game 1? And if the Celtics win tonight, how did they do it?
I think they will do a lot of switching. They will try to take the Warriors' rhythm away, similar to what the Rockets used to do back when they used to switch everything and try to turn the Warriors into an ISO team as much as possible. They'll target Steph and try to wear him down defensively. Whenever Jordan's on the pool, Jordan Poole is on the court, they'll be relentless going after him. They need to take care of the ball. Like, they've had just weird stretches in a number of playoff games that it's just like, are these guys serious right now? Like, huh? Do they realize this is a postseason that they need to be locked in? They can't afford to not be focused. If they do that against the Warriors, they're in trouble. Their defense is so big and so versatile that they'll be able to impact the Warriors in ways that not a lot of people do, but also the Warriors are still going to get theirs. I expect an awesome series. Like, this should be a really great series. After watching the slugfest that was Boston versus Miami, where just everyone was running on fumes and everyone was just playing disgusting basketball at least half the time, I think this is going to be like a really high-level basketball series.
Marcus, how do you think the Warriors will scheme against the Celtics? And if the Warriors win Game 1... how did they do it?
Two ways. Pick up the pace. Like, get the Celtics in transition. That's in March they came out here and they suffocated the Warriors in the half court. And while the Warriors are a different team then, they still remember how that felt. The answer to that is to not let that team set up defensively. So they got to pick up the pace. Boston plays pretty slow. They want to go half court to half court, even though they're really good when they do get out of transition. So one of the ways is Steph Curry's the most dangerous dude in transition. So they want to pick up the pace. They want to push it. And then they just got to take away threes. Take away threes. I don't think the Warriors will. They've been terrible at taking away threes. But the strategy should be to take away threes, because without the three-point shot, I don't know if Boston has enough offense. And if you let them get going early, then they could steal Game 1. This is a game where the Warriors win this game because Boston hasn't been here before, and it's an adjustment for the finals. Like, every first-time team deals with this, and even if it's just a quarter, that quarter kind of shapes how the game goes. So if they start off hot, that's going to be a bad sign. But if they're struggling, they have, you know, if they're a little bit tired, a little bit kind of in the moment, I think that's how the Warriors get Game 1. Push them, make them run, and then try to take away the threes, which Boston still can still win without making threes. But when they make threes, it's kind of a wrap most times.
One of the subplots I'm most interested in seeing
is how the Warriors pick on the Celtics non-shooters. Like, how much do they lean into letting Derek White shoot, letting Marcus Smart shoot? And how does that impact Boston? Are those guys going to just settle for threes, or are they going to use that space to make plays for other guys? Because when the Celtics handle that well, then their offense, those guys can both pass, they can both play in the seams, they can both hurt you when you try to play them like that. But we saw it like the end of game seven, Marcus Smart took five or six shots in a row when the Heat were doubling off him, and he was just settling for three after three after three. And when the Celtics do that, that's when they're bad. That's when they can really look disgusting. That's when opponents can take advantage of them. So I think that will be a really important part of this series. How can they take advantage of Smart and White, and can Smart and White punish them for trying to do that?
Yeah, I almost wonder if the Celtics have been so entrenched in physical exhaustion, right, between the Heat series and the Bucks series, that now, Marcus, you get into mental exhaustion against the Warriors, right? Like, it's just a different type of, and I don't know, I actually don't know which one's worse.
Definitely the mental. We've seen it break down. And, you know, Steve Kerr's philosophy is always the long game. He's always playing, banking on the long odds. So, you know, they want to start these actions. They want to discombobulate because they know by game six, it's like, damn it. Like, I can't not do what I do, because if I forget, this is a corner three. This is an open shot. And eventually it just wears on you. And then Boston's been playing seven guys, right? I do think they'll start the series playing more. I do think you'll see some Peyton Pritchard more. You know, you'll see some guys get in there. But if they're gonna play seven guys, now you got tired legs and exhausted minds trying to, like, this is what they bank on. This is what they've always done. It was against Houston, against Cleveland, all of it. It's like, by game six or seven, you'll start to see the breakdown. So I do feel like that's going to be the underrated factor. What does Boston have left after two seven-game series, two grueling physical series? And if they pull it off, man, I think it'll be an incredible feat. I mean, it would be the most. It would be like gutsy. You know what I'm saying? Like, it would be the most. It'll be gangster, man. Because it's crazy to think what it took for them to get here. Like, just physically, like, with the injuries and the, you know, and the battle. They went through Jimmy Butler and Giannis. Like, I know those teams have injuries, but those aren't soft teams.
They look like idiots, right? Like, they make them look so bad, like, basketball-wise.
Those dudes don't, like, I don't care. I know they had injuries. Like, Middleton's, I get it. But the way they play and the way Jimmy Butler doesn't stop coming at you and Giannis doesn't stop coming at you, that's a credit to them that they were able to get through that. So now you got to do it again with, like, a dude who never stops running, right? Like,
yeah, and they're, like, beat up, too.
That would be pretty impressive.
They're beat up, too. Like, that Heat series left them in kind of rough shape. Like, Robert Williams looks bad by the end of it. Marcus Smart had, like, three injuries during that series that he was dealing with. Al Horford played 44 minutes in game seven. He's holding up well physically, but he's 35. You do wonder if that will catch up to him at some point. So I do think
it's almost like he got a massive break last year by being a part of the Thunder and being sent home at
the attrition could be a factor in this series.
Especially since they've got to win one of these two. They can't go to Boston down 2-0.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That's the formula for Warriors in five. They're going to win in Boston. You know they're going to get
one.
Which
is one of the five predictions you've made about the series.
Yes, absolutely. I told you, I'm locked in, baby. Let's go.
Yeah, you sure are. Take three. Cui bono? According to the script, that's Latin for who stands to gain. Specifically, which franchise needs this title more? Will be Joe Lacob's Frisco Warriors, headed up by the suave GM Bob Myers, the thinker Steve Kerr, future Hall of Famer Steph Curry, Draymond Green, Andre Iguodala, Klay Thompson, Andrew Wiggins, Jordan Poole, Gary Payton II, Otto Porter Jr., Kevon Looney, Juan Toscano-Anderson, all those future Hall of Famers right there, or is it finally time for Boston Basketball Partners LLC, headed by managing partner billionaire Wick Grousebeck? Boy Genius Brad Stevens, Sloan MIT Staple Mike Zarin, head coach Ime Udoka, and a little leprechaun not named Peyton Pritchard also.
Now watch me go!
This is a franchise that, if you look at basketball history properly,
not named Peyton Pritchard.
If you look at basketball history properly, we only count titles since the NBA-ABA merger. So the Celtics have four. Not 17, folks. They have four. Three from Larry Bird, one from Kevin Garnett.
The Bob Cousy slander is never ending. It's a
you know what? Put his ass in a time machine and bring him to the present day, and if he can shoot 35% from the field, I'm in. Okay?
Sunday night, I was dozing, as I do. Old folks do that a lot. At 8:30 at night, and the phone rang, and it was my friend Bill Russell.
Buddy said, "Bob, this is Bill Russell. I'm just calling to see how you're doing." And I said, "Well, so I dropped you a note in a book 3 years ago." And he said, "Yes, I got the note, but I haven't read the book."
As I say, outside the locker room with us, we joked, and we had somewhat of a relationship. But I, for some reason, it probably was me. I guess I was introverted. Considerably growing up. Maybe that played into my not reaching out to him. My responsibility, as I look back on it, to have reached out more and said, "Russ, let's go to a movie this afternoon. Russ, let's go have a beer." What? I didn't do that. And he was, I guess he didn't know how to treat this white superstar either. I must have subconsciously a guilt about not doing that.
Next Saturday night, we're sending you back to the future.
But until you get that DeLorean up to 88 miles per hour and gun it, I'm out on this, all right? Get past Johnny Red Kerr in 1954, and then I'll be impressed. Marcus! Back to the future. You know what? If he hadn't been such a dick about J.J. Redick, I would have been fine with it. But he's like some guys who don't have... you're right, but I wouldn't be like this. You're right. But he's like some guys who don't have the talent. Like, don't have the talent? Hit a jump shot, Bob Cousy. J.J. Redick's got crazy talent. What are you talking about? You just didn't have Bill Russell to play next to. All right, Marcus, who needs this title more?
Boston.
Wow.
Like, this is year what? Four? Five? I feel like Tatum is on the precipice of something, right? Like he, like this dude's a superstar, man, and he can be there, right? If he gets this title, I feel like we were just at a point where we were talking about breaking this up. You know, Brad Stevens, like, yo, I'm out, right? Like, I feel like they've been building to this and building to this and building to this, and I don't think either team like needs it to where if they don't get it, it's done, blow it up, but they've been this is the natural trajectory, right? And you can't just guarantee you'll be there next year, right? Like, so I do feel like from the Warriors' perspective, the fact that they proved that they're still like contenders, like I think they did their part, and they already got championships, right? Like, now it's like Jordan Poole getting experience. They've said, "Yo, we've rebuilt this thing, so we'll be in the mix for the next 4 years," right? And that was the accomplishment, I think, that makes it okay. Boston, you just don't want to be that team that misses the window, misses the opportunity. But I think in the end, both will be fine. But you could see a scenario where they don't win a title and they don't get back in 5 years.
Yeah, because we always do this, right? Like, look at this young core of Boston. They're super impressive. We're like, well, they're going to be around for the next decade.
But they were young 6 years ago, right? Like,
right. Well, we also did that with the Thunder 2012. Like, well, don't worry. Yeah. They'll be back. Never came back, right? And so they weren't back. And so, and like, LeBron joins the Heat. Oh, my God. The next decade is... Exactly. Well, it was 4 years and they won two titles, right? KD joins the Warriors. Oh, my God. Basketball is ruined. Like, well, it was two titles in 3 years.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you never know with this stuff. So, Jay, for the Celtics, how important is getting this title here? Not just for the history so they can have five on the books and be close to the Chicago Bulls, but in order to like, establish themselves as, like, this wasn't just, like a good run. This is the start of something special.
Legit. All these guys, for the most part, are very young.
all of them are under contract for years to come. Their whole nucleus is going to be around for a while. And they found something with Ime Udoka. They found something with Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown unlocking themselves as playmakers and lifting up the guys around them. Where it's very important for them to capitalize on now is this supporting cast is deep and it is really good. And Al Horford, especially, who's going to be 36, I think at some point during the finals, he's played at such a high level for them. I don't know if he can stay at this level even next year. And that if he diminishes, if they need to replace him in the starting lineup, if they can't rely on him for 44 minutes a night when Robert Williams is in and out of the lineup because has injury issues pretty regularly, that would be a huge deal. So it is one of those deals where you look at them and they're in good shape. They've accomplished a lot. They clearly have changed the direction of their franchise this season. But like you guys said, the window is never as big as we think it is. It's always smaller. And
it changes when you get it. Like, it literally changes you when you win it, right? Like, that's why the Warriors can come back, because it's always like, yo, we've done this. Can you imagine Tatum and Brown with that? Like, that's how you keep this thing going,
exactly.
Right? Like, so
exactly. That's how you turn into, like, holy shit, the Celtics are here, right? Not like, because I'll be honest, like, this is the first time where I've legitimately felt like the Celtics can make the NBA Finals and then win a championship. I didn't feel that way in 2020. Like, I didn't believe in them against the Heat. I didn't believe in them in 2018 in a game 7 against, like, no one outside of Boston thought that this team could actually be a contender, even though they made it to the conference finals. This is the year where it's like, damn, man, the Celtics team is good. Like, this Celtics team is legit. You can see it having championship DNA and all that crap. Like, it is legitimized. And obviously, the only way you truly legitimize it is by winning a title.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's one of those series where both teams have just kind of made it through a lot. And I think at the end of whatever happens in this series, the loser is going to go home knowing, like, A, that was a huge opportunity missed, but also they went through a lot. They accomplished a lot. Like, the Warriors, to be back in the finals after where they were over the last couple of seasons, and for Klay to be back playing as well as he's playing, and for Draymond to reach the level where he's, again, the best defender in the world when he's on the court. Yeah. And for...
while podcasting.
well, podcasting. And
breaking the code. His arm behind his back.
When Duncan Robinson started podcasting, what happened?
That is true.
No longer good. Yeah.
Most podcasters, we slip off.
Draymond had the best Freudian slip yesterday. He was like, we went 15 and filthy. I mean, 15 and 50. I was like, nah, you're probably right the first time.
Right. It was filthy. It was pretty disgusting to watch.
Absolutely. It was pretty bad.
Yeah. Coming up after the break, Quinn Snyder done in Utah. And who is Kevin Durant rooting for? Back after this.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Visit DirecTV.com. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply. And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
And that's my hope for them, is that they're just able to gain that perspective and understanding of how hard it is and how hard you have to work in order to be great in this league, which I feel like both of those young guys can. But there's a lot of work that goes into that, and you need to see that level to understand that level and where you need to get.
Right. One on Zoom real quick. Ron Krojcik, go ahead.
Draymond, I was wondering if you could offer an example of sort of the word culture gets thrown around a lot, and the Warriors culture that Steve has created here. Any example of how that culture helped you guys get through all the losing of 2 years ago and get back there as quickly as you have?
I think ultimately, just keeping the main thing, which is winning. No matter what, when we were getting crushed 2 years ago, won 15 games, the mindset every day coming in was, how can we win? You know, it was never like, oh, well, let's go out here and see if, you know, we're capable of doing this. It was always like, no, speaking from a position of, this is how you win. Doing things from a place of, this is how you win. And never really giving into the losing ways that we see around this league often, and just like, oh, we lost and that's it, and we suck and whatever, on to the next one. Like, we never felt that way. Like, we were 15 and 50. I felt all of those losses. Like, all of them losses bothered me. It was never like, oh, we suck and we just move on and we're going to lose the next one. That was never our mindset. You know, it was always, how can we get better to get back here?
And we're back. Take four. No Win Quinn done in Utah from ESPN. After weeks of conversations with ownership and management, Jazz coach Quinn Snyder's future remains unclear, and a possibility exists that he could decide to end his 8-year tenure with the franchise. Sources told ESPN, while talks are described as, quote, good faith attempts at a resolution that will keep Snyder, discussions with owner Ryan Smith and CEO of basketball operations Danny Ainge have yet to secure the coach's return for next season, sources said. Essentially, there's no change in Quinn Snyder's situation right now, and he's still trying to decide if he's going to come back and, you know, whether he wants to be there long term. Snyder expressed no interest in discussing open jobs in the marketplace this offseason, sources said, but sitting out a season would certainly leave him as one of the most sought-after candidates in 2023 and beyond. I guess he is not just dying to go rejoin Gordon Hayward in Charlotte.
Have you seen the video?
I've seen it, yeah.
Have you seen the shots of the people in the crowd?
Yeah, I've seen some of them, like how, you know, everyone just like cringes a little bit and like they don't want to look.
Other players were praying.
I've seen that too, which is pretty cool to see, for sure.
I read that your parents were there.
Mm-hmm.
Carry on, my wayward son. There'll be peace when you are done. Lay your weary head to rest. Don't you cry no more.
Of course, we wouldn't want the guy who is at the helm of yet another epic flameout in the playoffs, as the Jazz were bounced by the Mavs in five games, three of which Luka wasn't even there, didn't even play, just whatever. Jalen Brunson is all of a sudden Tim Hardaway Sr. And who could forget his infamous 19-minute rant about Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell being lunch pals? Jade, play the tape, the entire 19 minutes. Play it right now.
All right, guys. So, as I mentioned, Quinn Snyder
the other day went on, and you know, I've been to some pregame press conferences in the past, and I don't know, for me in the past when I've covered sports, they've kind of just been like, you expect it, kind of whatever. It's kind of, you almost kind of have to do it. At least that's how I was when I was a reporter. But this one apparently seemed much more livelier than other ones. So apparently he went on, and I say apparently because I obviously was not there, but I'll give the floor to you guys in a second. It requires a 19-minute, 2,000-plus word mostly monologue, attacking the dual narratives that his team's lack of clutch play, suggesting that Donovan Mitchell Donovan Mitchell barely passes it to Rudy Gobert. I'm not going to go through the whole quotes because it's a lot. I know for a lot of our listeners, they probably already read it. Was it Eric's story? That was your story that you wrote about it. To me, like after reading Eric's story, it was by the way a great job. To me, I don't know, maybe it's called me cynical, but it kind of comes off a little defensive.
It's pretty good. It's not hard to play, you know what I mean? Like I was just saying.
Red, coming, red!
You're playing as individuals defensively. You're not connected. On the free throw line, how many times are they going to get a rebound on the foul line? Because we don't make contact and hold these guys. We just go like this. We're skipping a step. Guy goes around us, long rebound they got. We're fine, we're right there, but let's put it together right now in the second half with disciplined defense. Okay, everybody's gotta be on the same page to do that, all right, let's go. Come on, hey, that wasn't a huddle. We got a huddle, man. As much trouble as we have communicating, we got a huddle. Way to work. You know, to beat good teams, you gotta be able to grind. And it takes a level of mental toughness, individually, and then the communication, that's your glue. That connects you. And then you become Tiger Tough.
Yes, folks, one of the most sought after candidates in 2023 and beyond, indeed. Jay, can Quinn win with another franchise?
Depends what franchise. Like, not any of the franchises that need a coach right now. Mm-hmm. Where would he go right now and take them to the next level?
It's just Charlotte, right? Is there anybody other than Charlotte that's got an open spot?
Yeah, so he ain't taking Charlotte anywhere. That's for damn sure. If I were him, I would go home. I would get away from Rudy Gobert. I would get away from Donovan Mitchell. I would get away from the mess that is, unless they are fully committed to changing the roster and committing to Quinn Snyder. Mm-hmm. He has been a very good coach, and what happened this season was not on him. They gave him no perimeter defenders. They have two stars who clearly don't get along and play like they clearly don't get along. It got to the point where my man was wearing a bulletproof vest and giving 19-minute statistical analyses of how they weren't actually folding in crunch time when they were actually folding in crunch time.
My favorite part of it is still, do they ride to work together?
They sit at the same table when they eat sometimes. You know, we don't, you know, I don't know if they ride to practice together. Probably not.
No, that's probably too far. Like just him 8-miling himself.
Those motherfuckers would never carpool.
They sit at the same table when they eat sometimes.
They ate together, you know, though.
Sometimes.
You know, I don't know if they ride to practice sometimes together. Probably
how
not.
Good a coach is Quinn Snyder, though?
I mean, he's a really good coach.
I think he's a good coach.
I think he's really good, too.
He's a good coach. I think he's a good coach. You know what? I mean, this is like, it feels like Snyder is like at the bar, like he left home expecting to go find a new chick. But in the end, he going right back home to his wife.
Like, well, we still doing that vacation that is paid for. So we got to, you know.
You know what I'm saying? Like, let's go give it another run, right? I mean, what else is he going to do? Like, that's.
Look, I want to go to Mykonos. You want to go to Mykonos.
Eventually, he's got to leave the bar and go home. Like, that's. There's no other options left. He's got to leave the bar and go home. And I feel it because there's just, what's the scenario where Utah gets over the hump? Like, what could they possibly do?
If they trade one of those guys, they'd probably get
they
worse.
Solve look, it.
But look, my thing is, I don't even think it's about thing. Getting over the hump. I think it's just the past year was miserable. to be around that team. To
they hated each other. They legitimately hated each
other.
But
I think part of it is because they know they're not getting over the hump.
Right, but look,
part of it is the realization.
Even close to the same situation, because clearly the Celtics have been in a better spot. But there is a certain point where Donovan Mitchell could just grow up.
It clicked, yeah.
Right? Like Jason Tatum this year, he grew up. He matured like in season and figured it out. Is Donovan Mitchell capable of that? It probably helps when you're 6'10". Right? Like it helps make those actions a little bit easier to figure out. But you know, Donovan could grow up and do his part.
Yeah, and he needs to change. He needs to look at himself this summer and realize he needs to commit defensively. He needs to commit to being a better passer. He needs to commit to all that stuff because
feels
I think
like he's committing to a different market. That's what it feels like.
He could look around and think it's everybody else's fault. But at the end of the day, a lot of that stuff comes down to if Donovan Mitchell was better, a lot of those issues wouldn't have been nearly as bad. And he's great. Tatum, like he's a great talent. I like watching him play, but he's flawed too.
Right.
Tatum didn't just wake up and decide, all right, let's get serious. He had a new coach. He had a new voice. It was a new approach. It was a new process. 25-year-olds don't just mature like that. Like, you know, they do need guidance. Yeah. They do need
He was doing the same bullshit to start the season. And then, you know, Marcus Smart called him out. I was like, I guess I gotta do this.
I mean, if Quinn Snyder's call out works, then yeah, it could work. But if the same voice is calling you out. And you still dealing with Rudy.
The fear that would ripple through that organization if Quinn Snyder publicly called out Donovan Mitchell, that would not go well. It would immediately just the panic set in would not go well. They don't have the culture for that.
Do they choose the coach or the player?
Player. Player sells tickets.
Always.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thought it might be different in Utah, maybe.
Still trying to sell tickets, still trying to sell jerseys, still trying to get whatever you can in terms of plus, you know, Quinn Snyder gonna welcome everybody to Salt Lake City All-Star Weekend. No, it's you have Donovan Mitchell hopefully as the ambassador for all that. That don't think that that doesn't matter. That absolutely matters in this coming year.
Another reason to just go home, man. We got a party planned for February.
Take five. Well, I seen it, my brethren. Draymond Green and Kevin Durant made headlines Tuesday when KD called Green's take about Steph Curry facing double teams in the NBA Finals 100% false. Go to twitter.com for the full exchange. Green accused his former teammate of taking his quote out of context, saying that Durant has to listen to, quote, full takes and not snippets before chiming in. Draymond, that is not how the internet works. Green appeared on the Colin Cowherd podcast and was asked why Steph has yet to win Finals MVP. In typical Draymond fashion, he delivered a backhanded compliment to his former teammate. Jade, play the tape.
Steph could have definitely had Finals MVPs because Steph has the ball. Like Steph is coming down the court and he's calling sets. And he's like, oh, we got a mismatch with Kevin Durant. We're going to get Kevin Durant the ball every single time. He can hijack the game, and no one's going to say a word. If Steph Curry comes down and he calls for a pick and roll every play, nobody's going to say a word, including Kevin Durant, by the way. Nobody's going to say anything. That's not who he is. That's not what he does. And so when you watch a game, and Kevin Durant was absolutely incredible in those finals runs. As you know, you watched it. We all watched it. Kevin Durant was absolutely insane. Steph Curry got double teamed
probably 7 times the amount that KD did in a given series.
Quote from KD back to Draymond. Oh, I seen it, my brethren. I appreciate the compliments, but I disagree with what you said about double teams. That's all. I love the show. I saw some graphic, and I have no idea if it's true. I did not fact check this, but it did say in the 2018 finals, Steph Curry faced 40 double teams and KD faced 2. Why we're analyzing that in a 2018 sweep of the Cleveland Cavaliers, I have no idea. Why we're doing that in 2022, we can't be that fucking bored as an internet, but here we are, guys. No. So Marcus,
we are.
Let me ask you, you're friends with Kevin Durant. You guys play Pinochle together. Oh, who is he rooting for?
I was there at the Letterman interview. I was right there. He's rooting for the Brooklyn Nets.
Oh, well, yeah. That's going to be tough in the finals this year, you know?
I don't think there's a win. As far as narratives go, I don't think there's a win in this scenario.
Really not like, we lost to the champs at least? Or do people not think that way? I don't know how that works.
I guess that could be like, at least we got swept by the champions. They got swept in the first round.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, if the Celtics win, like, especially how they would have to win, Tatum's getting the crown, mm-hmm. bro. Like, yeah. And then it's all offseason of Tatum being crowned, yeah. like the new generation.
Shit, man, you know even saying? If they like, don't win, it's going to be like, look, he got through KD, he got through Giannis, he got through Jimmy. Yeah. Like, it's going to, yeah.
right? Like, I mean, these are very like next up vibes happening right now, right? So no matter what, like he's going to have to endure an offseason and then come back next season, like trying to take back a crown, right? So I don't know if there's a real win. Maybe you could say it's probably worse if Steph, you know, now the conversation is he top five all time, yeah, top 10 know. All time, you know, because you know that's what they're mm-hmm. going to do. But in the end, I think he's just rooting. I do think there's a little bit of KD that's like poking at this, you know, okay, let's rile up the people sure. a little bit. Let's, you know
he
what I'm saying?
He does love to rile up the people. He's a big fan of Twitter beef.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, you guys, I'm about to mess with him. I'm about to get them all in a bunch.
I forgot how Twitter works and how this whole thing works. Luka's still going to be crowned as the next. It doesn't matter what Tatum does. It's still going to be Luka.
Probably right. Probably still going to be Luka. But you know he's rooting for Brooklyn. He's got to be rooting
right,
for
but
Brooklyn.
But that doesn't apply in the NBA. That's finals the only solution. Again. Like that doesn't.
But that's the only solution, though. That's the only victories that he comes back and win a championship.
Marcus
that's
will it. Not answer our question today. Jay, who do you think Kevin Durant is rooting for?
Ben Simmons.
Man needs more help. He needs Jay, more help.
Jay
year.
Is my dog, man. Like this is telepathy happening. Zach, you are no match.
Spam phone call. I am more interested in answering the spam phone call.
He's on. He's on the side. He's
podcast.
On the side of the court right now, where he's doing his off season workouts, and he's fucking clapping. He's sitting there. I need you. I need you. And then he's taking a little time off to tweet at Draymond, and then he's getting back to hyping up
Ben Simmons.
That's what he's doing. But seriously,
I'm so sick of this podcast. Just not even today, but just in general. I'm like, this end of the season can't come fast enough.
I want to go back to what Draymond actually said,
though.
Now
you want to fucking talk about the subject. Now you want
to
do it. Okay,
I think
that's
actually interesting. The conversation about Stephen Curry is so
stupid,
difficult to have.
Here's the easy part of it. He's one of the greatest players we've ever seen. He has one of the most insane resumes we'll ever see.
Here's where it's difficult, though, and what Draymond was pointing to. So much of his impact is that he's so great off ball. He's such a threat that he attracts more attention than anybody, including Kevin Durant. And that's the truth. It may not have been seven times as many double teams,
sure.
but he was getting doubled more than KD.
Well, according to that Twitter graphic, the Rockets, 20 times.
I mean,
the Rockets' whole strategy when they were playing against that team was, we hope that they go ISO. We hope that Kevin Durant tries to break off the offense and go at us. That's how good they were, that was their plan. But also,
that's the fallback, right? That's
like,
the hope.
That was the hope. It's crazy that was the hope. But
that's how crazy that team was.
Yeah. But that's sort of what they were trying to do. But it's the greatness of Steph is in all the other stuff, and that's why sometimes he'll have 17 points and he'll still be by far the best player on the court because he's opening up everything for everybody else. And so
it's just hard for people to see that who don't really understand.
I know this is,
but it's also hard
like
to give him credit, and sometimes you don't want to give him credit for opening up everybody else just by just being there. You know what I mean? Even when he's not great,
all you
got
to do is listen
there.
To the people. All you got to do is listen to the people whose task it is to stop them. Listen to Tyronn Lue, right? Mm-hmm. Like they're saying, if you take away one guy, this is the right. guy. Like that's. I mean,
even
if you don't know, just listen to them.
You may lose that Warriors team if you have KD on the and you take Steph off. You may still lose to them. It's going to feel a lot different.
Yeah.
It looks a lot more like traditional basketball than what we see now. And look, the 2018 NBA Finals MVP is not even what we should be fixing here. He put Matthew.
He put
Matthew Dellavedova in the hospital in 2015.
In the literal.
Actually, this is not euphemism. Iguodala held LeBron at 36, 18, and 8. Right, but he shot 39.9% for the field. I was like, well, shit, that's enough. Even Andre's like, I don't deserve this.
That was one of the great, like, but literally, like, you're saying this hospital, like,
that's not hyperbole.
I don't know who was around it. It was not, it's literally, he was in the hospital.
Like, for dehydration. He's like on a
gurney leaving the, he left the queue in a gurney.
Steph's like, I got ice water in my veins. He's like, I need fucking fluids.
How is this not one of the great legends of NBA history? Like, these are stories that would be, man, he put this dude in
a torn quad. Steph put right. a man in the hospital in the height of training.
Willis Reed, by the time we hear the story, Willis Reed is out there with like one leg, right? And crutches. He came out of the tunnel. It was really like a sprained ankle. But by the time we heard the story, it's like, and he had his leg amputated. I'm coughing right now
from screaming. I sound better than Belly did at the end of that game in the finals.
That dude literally went to the hospital after. I've never seen that in my life.
And they were still like, Iguodala, you got it. You're the reason they won.
And Deli was getting more credit than Steph at some points of that series. Like, they were like, oh, man, he's dude, dogging
they,
him.
They were building a dome. Him. Remember they were building a dome? Deli Dome in Australia. They were building. They're going to name a dome after
him. Wonder what that was.
Oh, all right. Those were fun
That's
times.
That's going to do it for this week's Point of Contention. Don't forget, we got pods all across the Athletic Podcast Network. Warriors Plus Minus. Anything is potable. Those are you're going to want to listen to during this NBA Finals. No Dunks. What Did I Miss with Michelle Beadle? Plus, you know, Down to Dunks, Glue Guys, Sixers Beat. Everything there for you. For Jay King, for Marcus Thompson, for Jade Hoy, I'm Zach Harper. Enjoy the start of the NBA Finals and subscribe to The Athletic for crying out loud. And make a prediction.
We need to start a GoFundMe for Jay's Wi-Fi.
Still won't take it.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.